Well, here at Bethel, we have been studying, trying to carefully study and learn from the book, from the record of the book of Jonah. And, you know, Jonah is a central participant in this story, but he is not the hero of the story. For reasons that we will review today, he is a less than stellar servant of God. But do not get too proud, because we are all much more like him than we would know or admit. God is the true hero in the historical record of Jonah. And let's take time to consider the record from verse 10 in chapter 3 through chapter 4. We saw last time that Jonah proclaimed the judgment that God was going to bring upon Nineveh. And the call was, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And I'm sure they said it many times. And you know, the astounding response found in verses 5 to 9 was that the people of Nineveh, known for their violence and for their evil ways at home and abroad, heard Jonah, believed God, and responded with a national fast and mourning for their own sin. And as a result of that personal national response, God relented of his plan to judge these people for their sin. Chapter 3, verse 10 reports, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. What do you think Jonah's response should have been as a result of this new work God was doing in the lives of the people of Nineveh? Chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 will tell us what did happen. We find an angry prayer, and we find God's response. First, there was an emotional response. There are aspects of Jonah as a person that we may not fully understand. How could he go through the trauma and the preservation of time spent in a large fish, make his commitment to God to go to Nineveh, and then be so aggressively opposed to the work that God was doing? In verse 1 we read, "But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry." Sin in our hearts can blind us from seeing what God is doing around us. Anger is a symptom of our current inability to accept or adjust to situations that are beyond our control. We may feel like, I did not expect this and I am angry. We all have been there. Sometimes we recognize it and deal with it quickly. Other times we let anger live within us far too long, and it always has a price. I told the folks in the first service of being on the road several days or on planes and so on. I got to Minneapolis and I wanted to get home to Winnipeg. And I landed at one end of the airport and I had to run to the other end of the airport, and I got there, but my bags did not. Do you know what the rule is? No bags, you don't get on the plane. So there I was. The plane was right there outside the door and I couldn't get on it. And I was angry, because I was tired and I wanted to go home. This very sweet lady at the counter smiled at me. I'm sure they put her there because she had special skills in this department, maybe training. And she said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Smart. There is a law that international flights cannot, travel passengers cannot get on without their baggage. So we will put you on the next flight to Winnipeg, but we could give you a meal voucher." So what do when you're all alone at the airport and you've got a meal voucher and you've got time? I went and found somewhere to eat. Had a little time to cool off, think through, process. And I was surprised when I got to the counter to report for the next flight, and they gave me a first-class seat. Was it worth getting angry about? You know, after his initial pondering and angry response within, Jonah then turned to God in prayer. And prayer should be a good thing. We need to be honest in prayer with God. We can tell Him what we are thinking and how we feel, but do not stop there. We need to take time to listen as well to hear the guidance God has for our present personal needs and more. Jonah was angry as he approached God. He had a few things to say to God about this present situation. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." And you know, when you read his report, as we find it here, you would almost think that Jonah had been doing God a favor when he ran away from the assignment and he headed for Tarshish instead. Jonah was now saying that he had been trying to forestall or postpone this movement of God among the people of Nineveh. He was so full of his own assumptions and prejudices that he was blinded to the power of God to transform lives. We can give Jonah credit that his theological knowledge was still there. Maybe he had a certificate on his wall at home. He had a head knowledge of the character of God, which we also spoke about last Sunday. And Jonah said, "I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Let me ask you, what kind of picture do you have of the person and character of God? Do we think of God as the storekeeper who gives us whatever we ask for? Is he the doctor who fixes me up when I need physical healing? And we know that, yes, he does bring about physical healing. He doesn't guarantee that we will all experience it, but he does bring about physical healing in his time for his glory. Do we see him as the creator, but forget that he is also our sustainer for daily life? God has declared and revealed his character to us in nature and in his written word, the Bible. Jonah knew what the prophets had declared about the nature of God. But he was rebellious because God was not agreeing with him about the welfare of the people of Nineveh. Jonah did not want to be associated with Project Nineveh any longer. "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." And he will say it again in verse 9. Jonah is not the only prophet who ever asked God to let him die. Elijah prayed a similar prayer, 1 Kings 19, verses 3 to 5. Maybe you have felt the same way at some time, so exhausted by a load, personal, physical, emotional, that you have thought or said, "Lord, I do not want to live any longer." Can I encourage you that the answer will not be found only by looking within or looking around? You want to find out about those sources? Lots of general bookstores will have a spiritual section. They will tell you all about all the ways to look in and look around and find your answers. But they're missing the most important answer, and that is looking up, looking to the Lord, and looking in his word. Jonah was in self-imposed despair. God did not harshly respond to his erring child. God did not take Jonah's life, but God did ask him a question. I'm sure there was no yelling. It was in soft tones. And he would have asked, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Do you use those techniques as a parent when your child's really ranting and going on? You use a soft, gentle voice. Is it right for you to be angry? Maybe you've noticed that in many conversations in the gospel, Jesus asked questions to guide the individual. Last week, we spoke about how God wants us to have our mind and our heart engaged with him. In Isaiah 1, we read verses 18 and 19, "Come now, let us settle the matter, or let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land." I like what Warren Wiersbe wrote about this question in verse 4. Jonah certainly had, and this is what he said, and I believe the quote's there, Jonah certainly had good theology, but it stayed in his head and never got to his heart. And he was so distraught that he really wanted to die. God's tender response was to ask Jonah to examine his heart and see why he was really angry. Does our anger obscure our ability to see what God is doing around us? We find in the next section, verses 5 to 9, that Jonah sulks and he watches. He hasn't answered God yet. God gave the question to linger in Jonah's mind and heart. And instead of staying with the Ninevites to tell the people more about the character and will of God, that would have seemed like the good thing for a prophet to do. He left the city and found a location east of the city. He made a shelter and he sat in the shade of his shelter. And it can be very hot in that region of the world, which is today known as Mosul in Iraq. It only gets up to 110 Fahrenheit there at times. What was Jonah's purpose in sitting away from the city, watching it from the east? He waited to see what was going to happen to the city. Would God keep his word? God showed some compassion to Jonah, just as he was doing for the people of Nineveh at the same time. But there would be some teaching attached to this act of grace from God. By the way, do you know what compassion is? Compassion. We use the word but seldom examine its roots or meaning. In one general dictionary, we read this. It is a noun, a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Now, I was excited to explore some of the biblical understanding of this word. It is certainly attached to God's deep and tender love for those he has made and called to salvation. It also communicates about his patience and forgiveness. It has the idea of love and care as a father does for his children. It also captures the concept of the great concern and tenderness that a mother feels for the child she has given birth to or adopted. What is compassion for us? It is not sitting in a lawn chair out in the east side waiting to watch what would happen to Nineveh. God was so kind to Jonah that while he sulked and watched. Verse 6 tells us that God allowed Jonah to have a special plant to shade him and to provide ease for his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy with the plant. You know, there's an interesting relationship in the book of Jonah on a few matters here. That in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, God provided the great fish. And then 6 to 8 of chapter 4, God provided the leafy plant or the gourd, which had grown up quickly and provided shade. Next, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. And at the same time, God also provided what the NIV describes as a scorching east wind. And Jonah was so hot and exposed and probably became dehydrated because it says he became faint. God provided these elements of nature as part of his curriculum for an angry servant. Jonah did not see God's hand in any of this. He felt sorry for himself and he simply wanted to die. And as we see in verse 8, when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and he said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God is a patient teacher. Aren't you glad? the lesson was not over. God had another question for Jonah. This time it was about the plant. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, Jonah said. I am so angry, I wish I were dead. What would you say to Jonah in that moment? If that had been your child, what would you say? You know, in both of the questions God had asked Jonah in chapter 4, he was calling Jonah to set aside any selfishness and to recognize and have a greater awareness of God's absolute concern for the well-being, not only of Jonah and his people Israel, but for all people of the world, including the people of Nineveh. And as children of God through Jesus Christ, we have to be thinking about the people around us. Just as Jonah assumed and presumed upon the people of Nineveh that they had little worth, we cannot and should not assume and presume that others are less important or not of concern to us. Someone else will look after them. That's not my problem. The second time that God asked the question, Jonah gave a hasty and still angry response, wishing he were dead. Jonah was wishing he was dead. Verses 10 to 11, we read that God has a final word. It says here, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? This time God did provide an answer, and he explained how the plant was a visual aid to picture the great concern God had for the people of Nineveh. God did not want them to perish. Would you not agree that concern for the salvation of a people or of a nation is far more important than a plant for shade? Sometimes the things that give us present comfort are not the things that God has determined are most important for us. If I was trying to think of a cultural equivalent, maybe this would be it. If you all went home today and you had no air conditioning, your central air conditioners have just all disappeared. If you have one, would you still be able to give thanks to God and look to see what you could do for your neighbors around you? Sometimes we're so caught up in the things that give us comfort here, we hardly have time to look and see what is going on around us. The meaning of verse 10 is pretty plain to us. Let's talk about verse 11 for a few moments. God is speaking as the sovereign Lord and Creator. He had great concern for the people of the city of Nineveh. He knew of their sin. He knew of their need. And that is why he sent Jonah. That is why he gave Jonah a message to declare. That is why God gave the people of Nineveh ears to hear the message. And that is why the people responded to the message even before their king made a declaration to say they should do so. How well does God know you and me? Jesus said that even the hairs of our head are numbered. Some of us do not have as many hairs to count. God had taken his own census of the needs of the people of Nineveh. And we read that there were more than 120,000 people who lived there. The curious fact is that God also says that these 120,000 cannot tell their right hand from their left. Now, it will not change the ultimate meaning and outcome, but just for a minute, let's ponder, what does that mean? We don't really know for sure, but it's one of two possibilities at least. Were there more people there, but 120,000 of them were children? Or were they 120,000 people, but they were all like infants in their awareness of God? There were also animals. Interesting that they're mentioned here. Animals are not able to understand God as we do, nor to receive spiritual salvation. God was interested in the well-being of the natural world as well as the spiritual condition and needs of these people. God had the final word. He demonstrated again his trustworthy character and his great compassion. Do you remember what we said about compassion? We said this: it is certainly attached to God's deep and tender love for those he has made and called to salvation. It also communicates about his patience and forgiveness. It has the idea of love and care as a father for his children. It captures the concept of the great concern and tenderness that a mother feels for the child she has given birth to or adopted. The book ends with the Lord having the last word. We are told nothing more about Jonah. For that matter, there is no interim or final report about Project Nineveh and how long the spiritual awakening lasted. God gave us this book, the Bible, for a reason. It is not just an entertaining story here in Jonah. It can and should speak to our generation as it has for many generations before us. The questions that God asked Jonah should linger in our ears to every season of our lives. How would we respond if God asked us the questions that he asked Jonah about our spiritual life and about our vision for mission? What is God's answer, or what is our answer, rather, to God's questions? You know, God was compassionate with Jonah, as well as with the people of Nineveh. God gave gentle questions to direct Jonah's understanding instead of harsh rebuke. Two times God asked, "Is it right for you to be angry?" In verse 11, the final question is asked, "Should I not have concern for that great city of Nineveh?" What are God's questions to you and me today? I found Mr. Warren Wiersbe's summary questions helpful for me, and I believe for us. How are you and I answering God's question of verse 11? First of all, do you agree with God that people without Christ are lost? Do you agree with God that people without Christ are lost? Is it just a nice message and everyone can have a different one if they want and it all doesn't matter? No, it does. Do you agree with God that people without Christ are lost? Second question, like God, do we have compassion for those who are lost? We've talked about what compassion is. Like a mother, like a father, a gentleness and a concern and an awareness. Do we have compassion for those who are lost? How do we show this compassion? Next question. How do we show this compassion? And then, do we have a concern for those in our great cities and our small towns, wherever we may be, where there is so much sin and so little witness? Two more questions to follow. Do we pray that the gospel will go to people in every part of the world, and are we helping to send it there? And lastly, do we rejoice when sinners repent and trust the Savior? If I was to add one more question to that list, it might be, when did you last have opportunity to explain the person of Jesus Christ to someone in need and to even invite them to know him as their Savior? Have you had that privilege? Have you prayed for the opportunity? Has God opened a door for you? Or are you asking him to do that for you, that you can be part of the process? Bethel Church is committed to mission participation and service. We are willing to invest financially to help those who serve abroad and in Canada, and we do. We can pray for our missionaries. We need to ask, what are we doing at home? Do you know your neighbors by name? What Christ-like qualities would they know you or me to have? Are we involved in living out the message and also speaking of the message in our neighborhood and our community? Jonah was a struggling servant who had lost sight of God's great compassion for every person in the world. Not just the people of his nation, the people who were like him, but every person in the world. You cannot read the Old Testament without knowing that God is the maker of all people, and he cares about all people. He calls us to be his servants where we are and from where we are, in what we say and in what we do. There's a hymn that I learned as a child, and some of you will know it well. The title is Channels Only. At least one of the titles is Channels Only. The idea that we would be a channel through whom God can minister and serve. Words go like this. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Just a channel full of blessing to the thirsty hearts around to tell out thy full salvation, all thy loving message sound. Emptied that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin. Thou who bought me to possess me in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Jesus, fill now with thy spirit hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man or inner person may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. We have had the privilege to study in the book of Jonah. I hope the lesson isn't over when we say the amen. Will the questions linger in our minds? Will we hear what God is asking us for this present time and place where he has placed us? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege to study from the book of Jonah. And we are humbled to realize that we are so much like Jonah. Maybe our stuff hasn't been recorded for this in this way, but we are so much like him. Help us to be humbled before you, to submit to your will, to be eager to know what we should be doing, to love others in your name. In our community around us, in our church family, our families, wherever church families were from, and in our extended families, there's so much need for restoration in our world today. And we ask for your help that we could be channels for that purpose. In Jesus' precious name, and the people of the Lord said,